Skittily scat. It's still fucking hot.
It's very hot. Welcome to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Sean.
I'm Katie.
And we are not going to be talking about the weather today because nothing's changed. It's just hot, hot, hot. Every day it's hot.
Hot heat.
UV index really high too.
And yeah. So. The main person who is suffering is our doggeroo because she's bored as shit.
Yeah, I can't go outside. She goes for a walk for,
10 minutes.
And then she's done.
Well, and we don't want to take her for longer. Obviously, it's not good for her. Yeah. But she is sick of being inside.
Me too.
I know. And she comes to... So she's been getting so much better, I have to be honest. Our little girl is growing up. And she kind of knows, oh, you're working. Like right now, she snooze-a-loosed at our feet. But she knows she comes into my office and she just sleeps while we work. And then I take her out every so often or play with her, feed her, stuff like that, blah, blah. But lately, in the past couple of days... About 10 or 11 a.m., she's like, rah, rah.
I gotta stretch my legs.
Yeah, she's like, hey, yeah. I'm bored. And I get it, because I'm like, I'm bored too.
All her squirrel friends have left. They're not around anymore.
They are. She just saw one out the window just a minute ago.
Oh, I haven't seen as many, I guess, is what I was alluding
to. There aren't as many, but they're still out a little bit, but in the shade of the tree.
Mm. They go north for the summer, the squirrels in Texas.
That's not true.
Yeah.
You're making up facts.
No, just like birds go south. The squirrels go north.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It.
Facts. Mm-hmm. You heard it here.
And she jumped in the pool. She went swimming. My goodness.
We have a little video even.
All right.
Of her jumping in the pool. So she has been scared of water. Not in a big, big way, but I think she would prefer to not.
When you bathe her, you have to put these little floaty wings on her.
No.
So she feels secure.
She loves to like bite at water like, that's fun. And in a bath, she's like, it's fine. As long as I get a treat, I'm cool. But when it comes to like a lake or a pool where she can't really see the bottom and she's not really sure, she gets a little scared, which self-preservation, maybe she should. Although she's a strong swimmer. She like pulled your kayak in. But anyways, our neighbor, who we take her over there all the time to play with her doggos, she has a lab and also named Roxy that loves to jump in the pool. In and out, in and out, in and out, the whole time. And since it's hot, we were like hosing them and getting them wet, but she wouldn't jump in, and now she has jumped in. And it was exciting because Karen, our neighbor, caught it on video.
Mm-hmm.
Video.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I saw something that I need to share with you.
Okay, what?
I'm not saying that we do this ourselves, but it's something that it just spoke to me and I want to do it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, I saw it too. I sent it to you, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Or so, I liked it and therefore it came up in your feed.
What we're looking at here is racing.
I did send it to you because it says Formula One. I thought you would like it.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for sending it to me. I didn't know it was for
me. I get your sense of humor, you know?
But it's double-decker buses in England, I would assume, because that's the only place where they really are.
And the guy even giving the... commentaries, it has a British accent,
right? And they're just going around in circles. They're racing double-decker buses.
Has anybody been to one of these? Do you know where these happen? We should have our first OTDM meetup at a double-decker bus.
That'd be awesome.
Double-decker bus. Either double-decker bus race or Quidditch match.
Interesting. So this led me down a rabbit hole, and it led me to another sport, and this I believe is the future. The children aren't the future. This sport is.
This is the future. Okay.
This is Balloon World Cup.
The balloon. Oh, no. I love how there's like household items in the way.
Right. So,
if you're just listening, two guys are competing. When you're a kid and there's a balloon in the house, we've all done this. You whack it up into the air and you try to make sure it doesn't touch the ground. Now it can touch other objects. It cannot touch the ground. And that is what they're doing. And it is ridiculous.
It's like on the set of ESPN or something. And these two guys, I mean, they've got skills. They're flipping it over the car and the way it comes down so slowly. Look at them. Really competitive.
Well, I assume they're competing against each other, right?
Yeah. It's a Major League Keepy Uppy is the name of it.
Keepy Uppy? That is so stupid. Please, let's...
Why are they wearing helmets? Are they afraid of the balloon?
I don't know. What do the comments say? Anything good? That's why I always go to comments.
Well, here's a misogynistic one. Uh-huh. From a woman, which is interesting. Says, still better than women's soccer.
That's not very nice. Rude.
Mm, rude.
Take it back.
Oh, here's someone who also, why do they have helmets on?
Mm-hmm.
In case the balloon gives them static.
I need my hair to look smushed, not staticked. Maybe in case they whack themselves into that car that was in the middle of it.
This is a good point. Mm-hmm. Someone says, I don't understand why they don't hit downwards. I guess you always have, maybe that's one of the rules. You always have to hit in an upward motion.
You're like, yeah,
right.
Eat
this. Spike it.
Sucker.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. A lot of people have those concerns. Is it illegal to spike it?
Must be. That's one of my favorite things is when you're in a TikTok and you find it really funny or you find it like, what? The comment section. That's really where the gold is. You got to dig sometimes for the gold there.
Yeah.
You know.
This person says the best player gets the Ballon d'Or, the golden balloon.
Oh. Yeah,
so that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Well.
Keepy uppy or whatever the fuck. Keep it up.
Seems keepy like a sport uppy. That like people who are over 100 years old could play too.
It's inclusive.
Yeah.
I like inclusivity.
Tai Chi.
Mm. It's the,
as volleyball is to keepy uppy, Tai Chi is to karate.
Yeah.
Or slow the other way around. Version.
Yeah.
Slow motion for me. Hey, if you haven't watched Juvenile on Tiny Desk.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Wow. I really do like Tiny Desk. NPR, mm-hmm. they just basically bring musical acts into, mm-hmm. I guess, the NPR building.
I think it's in their offices. They have like the Tiny Desk space. I assume it's not someone's desk at this point because that would be kind of annoying if they're like, Steve, you got to move your stuff. They're coming back in. He's like, I can never work.
Right.
Maybe he's like, I never have to work.
But there's always great shows, and it's cool to see their acoustic sets usually, right? Well, no, they've got some electric.
There's some electric, but I think with Tiny Desk, I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but I feel like there are some limitations or rules or something because everybody who does Tiny Desk has because there's limited space, so there's limited equipment. And I think that might be one of the main rules is you can't be outside of that space.
It was wild to see Wu-Tang on there because there was like 9 or 10 guys. There's a lot of people.
That's the thing. It all crammed
in. A lot of energy.
That's the funny thing about Tiny Desk is you have to fit within the desk. Our friend Dodie was on it, which is cool to know a friend that was on Tiny Desk. But Juvenile was really good. And it was just funny because it's essentially a song like or a soundtrack to most of my teen and college years. It was hilarious, and I enjoyed it very much.
Manny Fresh, his producer, was there on the keyboard. He's
so good, and his voice is so distinct. Both of their voices are distinct.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting. I encourage you. It's been out for a while. It's not like new.
It's on YouTube. I'll put a link in the description below.
Ooh, yes, yes.
So what's happening with you, Katie?
I mean, honestly, well, a couple things. So last weekend, we got out of the house. Ah, cue excitement. Drop the confetti. And we went to a really, really cool speakeasy / hidden bar. It's called the Firehouse Bar? Firehouse something. You can look it up. Firehouse Speakeasy, I think is what they call it. But it's inside. So here's the story. Sean and I we went downtown, bought some broccoli. I'm just kidding. We went downtown.
Downtown.
And we went to this place I don't really like called the Punch Bowl Social.
Yeah.
It's just not my favorite. Too many kids, too much. Yeah, just not my thing. But we wanted to check it out. So it's good to get out of the house. We checked that out. And then we were going to go to Neither Here Nor There, which is like a bar. Everybody that I've talked to is like, oh, you got to go there. That's a really good place, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay, it's like 7 o'clock on a Saturday. And it turns out you have to have like a reservation and an app and like a code to get in because it's like so exclusive. And we didn't have that. So
also it's very hard to find. It's neither here nor there.
You don't know where it is. And
finally, we asked someone standing outside of the hotel. Like,
oh, it's right over there, the keypad, but you have to have blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like through a tiny chain linked fence and they're trying too hard, these places.
I don't know. We haven't been there, so I can't judge it just based on that because we did not have a reservation. Like Midnight Cowboy, which we love.
Go down the alley.
But Midnight Cowboy was secretive too, and if we didn't know.
And then when you get to the third dumpster, you open the lid, you crawl in, you dumpster dive. That's why we call it dumpster dive. See, it's not just a dive bar. It's a dumpster dive bar. And you get into the dumpster and then you shimmy your way past the grease trap into the building. And then voila, you're in the best bar in the city. Mm. Yeah. Dumpster dive.
I don't recommend it.
It smells like grease.
Sean has a very low tolerance for any kind of inconvenience when it comes to going out. But if I had made reservations and we had the code, he'd have been super stoked.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But the fact that we couldn't find it.
But then when we do those things and he just doesn't realize the planning and preparation that it took to make it happen, like a reservation, yeah. He's like, this place is fucking awesome.
Wow. So anyways.
We went to Midnight Cowboy and it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
So anyway, couldn't find it. Walked by, asked a gentleman that was at the valet at the hotel near there. And he was so nice. And he was like, oh, you need all this. And he's like, I think I still have the app. Yeah. So you got to download it and blah, blah, blah. And we were like, oh, we didn't do that. He's like, you might be able to squeeze in now, but he's like, this is like reservation only almost because it's so small. And we were like, okay, no problem. And he's like, but across the street in this hostel, which I would never have gone into a hostel.
It's the worst name for a place that you're going to stay at and you don't know, this, you know, everyone's a stranger.
That's the cool thing about a hostel.
No, but they shouldn't call it hostel. They should call it like peaceful.
I don't think it has anything to do with that at all. But because not spelled the same at all. But the inside the hostel, he said you to the side of the lobby desk or whatever you call it, that there's this bookcase and behind there is this bar. And we were like, and I walk in and immediately don't know where it is. And Sean's like, right over here. Because I was like looking all around on my side, the left side, and it was right there on the right. And it was fabulous.
But I grew up watching Scooby-Doo, so I can always spot a fake
it's
wall.
It's Sean's dream for us to have a fake wall.
Yeah. I want to pull a candle.
Candelabra.
Well, no, not a candle. That's a little obnoxious. Just one candle.
A sconce?
A sconce, yes. Mm-hmm. I want to pull that. And mm-hmm. Or a book. You pull off shelf and then the door goes, mm-hmm. You know, because you don't oil it. So you want it.
Wanted to make some creaky
noises. Your secret room needs mm-hmm. to be noisy.
There was a place when we were looking at houses that had one of those that you like pulled on the sconce on the wall and it opened and it went, it was like a spiral stone staircase down into the wine cellar. The place was like $2 million. It was way over our budget, but it was cool and I had to show it to Sean and he was like, we got to get that place. We couldn't, but we thought about it.
Yeah. So we went into this place and it was lovely. And I had, for the first time in probably 20 years, a strawberry daiquiri.
Yes, because they make them fresh from locally grown strawberries, which, I mean, makes us sound really bougie and weird. But I like stuff like that because I'm like, it didn't travel very long and it's fresh.
That was great.
And fuck if it wasn't the most fresh and delicious daiquiri. Also, it's like 110 degrees. So that icy.
I just poured it down my shorts.
Right. I just pour some daiquiri on me.
May I have another, please?
No, it was so, so delicious. And our neighbor was so kind to let Roxy Girl play with her dogs. That's when she jumped in the pool because she was hot also. And so when we got back, she was like wiped out.
Yep.
Wipe out. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
All right.
So that was really fun. And it was good to get out of the house. And I made us some reservations for brunch on Saturday. And I'm excited. It's a Korean place.
Ooh.
Very good.
I like Korean food.
It's called the Peached Tortilla, which you would not think would be Korean.
No.
I like that it's elusive. The only reason I clicked on it is it showed some kind of kimchi egg kind of thing on their picture. I was like, oh, Sean would like this place.
I do like kimchi.
Their menu is very inventive. And so I'm excited to try it.
Like a Roy Choi inventive?
Kind of. There's like play on like a mix mash. Like there's an omelet. Mm-hmm. It has different things in it. There's like seaweed on like a kind of like a porridge-y type stuff. You know, there's all sorts of things. A rice bowl.
Why is seaweed so expensive to buy? Because I love it, right? And
I don't know if the process of turning it into something you can eat is long. I don't know. Because it's fucking everywhere.
It just seems like it's dry. Mm-hmm. Like you go to the beach and there's just massive amounts of seaweed that wash up.
It might be cheaper at like H Mart.
Maybe.
Because sometimes I find, does anybody else find this? If you go to some kind of specialty market that's not for that particular type of food, meaning I'm not going to the Korean market, I'm not going to the Jewish market, I'm going just to like a Whole Foods, or we went to Central Market, this is where we found it. And I think of those as like bougie grocery stores. Now, or an Erewhon. If I go to one of those, I feel like everything's just like priced up. you know, like it's just a little bit more expensive. Because I swear to God, when I would go to the, what was it called in LA off of Pico, the Mirawaki market? No,
Mitsua.
Mitsua market. So the Mitsua market, I could find stuff for so much cheaper, like the Asian, because it's an Asian market. So it has all types of like Korean, Vietnamese, and Chinese food stuff that you can make at home or you can buy it there. They always have like a little food, I don't even know what you call it. It's kind of like a food court. But I swear to God, seaweed snacks, before they were super popular and sold at like Trader Joe's, they were there for cheap.
Yeah.
Because I would go there and get it with Liz.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest scandals that we're facing right now in the economy is the price of seaweed.
God damn it. That's the biggest scandal. What about eggs? Eggs are so expensive these days.
Maybe they're in cahoots.
They're in cahoots. I saw false information, and maybe I'm wrong. I didn't even double back on the research, but this is the problem that I have with it. Well, I'm going to get into what grinds my gears.
Lay it on me.
I haven't had a grinds my gears in a while.
After your grinds my gears, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell a story that'll offset that negative Perfect. News.
We like to not be too negative.
Fair and balanced.
Don't get pulled into the pit of despair. Fair and balanced. So I don't know who the powers that be. Sean was on the internet, probably on Instagram. He was like, do we buy Oatly milk? Because I do buy oat milk. And I said, yeah, that's what we have right now. And he's like, did you know that in one serving, it has the same amount of
oil
as a serving of fries and the same amount of sugar as.
Oh, the same glycemic index or no, same glycemic load mm-hmm. as a soda.
Mm-hmm. And because I have Oatly and I was making my coffee with it, which is what the main way I drink it, maybe like 2 ounces of it a day or something. I look at it and I'm like, it has 0.5 grams of saturated fat. I don't think that's the same as.
I don't fries. Know. I don't know how much is in a serving size of a fries.
But this is a serving of that. And then the sugar was 7 grams. And I was like, they need to shut the fuck up. Because a soda has like, I think it's 24 grams.
And I don't know. I was like,
fake news.
No, but it's not just grams. I think they were saying the glycemic load, whatever that means.
See, I just.
Of the product.
I would, if somebody wants to fact check and debunk. Go for it.
I think it's a nutritionist who put it out. So.
I think it's bullshit.
Okay.
And I don't believe it.
Well, you should believe everything you see on the internet. You
should. Sean, I was like,
why would people take the time to put it on the internet if it's not true?
Because they don't know better and they are just resharing shit. Right. And they're like you, just repeating stuff.
Why is there oil in oat milk?
I think there's oil in a lot of non-dairy milks to make it creamy. Would be my guess. Emulsify it.
You just put cow fat in there.
Then it's the opposite. Then vegans everywhere revolt. But I like oat milk. I don't do almond milk because of the drought in California and the fact that most of our water was going to produce almonds. So I encourage all of you to pick a different one, just not almond. But I'm not really particular. I actually really liked soy milk for a long time. That was the only option. But people always say like, oh, but it's not good. What about like cancer?
Yeah, it pumps your estrogen level. Mm-hmm. So
I don't really have soy milk unless I get it from Starbucks because that is the best. Their soy milk is the bomb.com. But I don't get Starbucks very often, so anymore. We used to live just down the street from Starbucks.
You know, for as close as we were to Starbucks, I didn't eat it that often, or didn't have it that often.
I didn't have it that often, but more often than we do here. Even Certainly. Though we have Starbucks not far from us, I don't like having to get in the car to go everywhere.
Starbucks conditioned us, like by having a Starbucks on every block over the last 30 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's more than a mile away, it's so inconvenient. I'm like, does Starbucks even exist anymore? Where I haven't seen them in, you know what I mean?
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in the Mecca, like in Washington State. Not only are there Starbucks like across the street from one another, because one will be so busy that they open another and they're just as equally as busy. But we also have those, and we've talked about this, those espresso stands.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
they're just
a lot
little
of caffeine being consumed.
People love a coffee. Yeah. And you just never know what kind of road. You can be in the middle of fucking nowhere. You can be out in like, I don't know, what is it out on the way to White Pass? We passed through that funny
Randall.
Town. Randall. You can be out in Randall and there's a little, we stopped at one of those, remember? Mm-hmm. With my mom and Larry.
Yeah.
Little espresso stand. Anyways,
you're furious that someone has maligned the oat milk industry.
Not necessarily. There's a couple things. Number one, I don't care. Number two, I don't like dissemination of false facts. So they need to explain. And I'd like them to show like two nutritional and explain what the fuck they're talking about. Because I don't, right. That does not seem to line up. like, I don't know what a whole serving, 8 ounces of oat milk is like 100 calories. So I don't know how that could have more grease.
Yeah.
Then
it'd be such a small serving of fries. You're right.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
Oh, I've been hoodwinked by the internet yet again.
But anyway, he immediately, and I pulled it out and I was like, I don't think that's correct. I'm not saying.
Hey, Katie, check it out. I found this meme that says ketchup is carcinogenic.
But there's always something like that. And that, anyway, that really, that grinds my gears. But I'm happy to find another oat milk. I just think it tastes the best. And I even got shit because my friend Cassie Ho, Blogilates is her channel, on Instagram, she had said like, hey, what's your favorite oat milk? You know, I'm trying new ones. I said Oatly. And people were like, they should be canceled. I don't even know what they did. To be honest, it's been so long ago, I don't even care. And I loved it because somebody automatically commented, Cassie just asked what her favorite, and if that's her favorite, that's fine. You know, like, mind your business kind of thing. And I was like, that's right. Everybody's got to have a fucking opinion. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
I don't. Have an
Stitched
opinion.
It up.
On this matter.
But anyway, so that grinds my gears when people disseminate false facts. Also, throwing it into the same conversation. We were watching NCIS Los Angeles, which I still love.
Okay.
Just yesterday. And this guy was faking PTSD, turns out. However, they made the dumbest comment. I don't normally really care that much about, like, oh, this person has schizophrenia, and they're always the person that's, like, harming someone or whatever, even though the likelihood of that happening is incredibly low. It's more likely that someone's high or drunk. They're more dangerous. Frustrates me on a stigma level, whatever. This was so egregious. This guy, his psychiatrist came and said, like, oh, you know, he was faking PTSD, but at the time we hadn't learned that yet, and his psychiatrist was in on it. But the psychiatrist at the time was like, you know, he's had such a hard time, and he's like kind of gone inside himself, and so maybe the best thing he could do is just forget this other trauma on top of, like, his war trauma. One of the characters says, is he on Risperdal as well as on a benzodiazepine? And the doctor says, yes. Like, he's shocked that she would say that. And I'm like, well, of course, if he has PTSD. Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. Then she's like, I'll talk to him. And so she goes in to talk to this dude. And then the psychiatrist turns to the rest of the team and says, how does she know the psychopharmacological treatment of a DSM-4-TR? And I'm like, I rewind it back. I tell Sean, I'm like, what? I'm like, maybe I misheard something.
It was at this point that Katie heard a fart in the show.
I was like,
I got to rewind it and see if
I rewound it twice. And that is what he says. The pharmacological treatment of a book. The DSM-4-TR stands for text revision, which really just means that they want to make more money. I think it's fucking bullshit. But that'd be like me saying, I did not know that you knew the pharmacological treatment of To Kill a Mockingbird. You'd be like,
well, does the DSM provide it?
No.
Okay, so
it's a diagnostic manual.
Right, it doesn't give prescriptive information. It's just
no, there's a whole different thing for that.
Right, okay.
Maybe, I don't know if the ICD-11 does, but it was just the stupid, he could have, even if it was that, let's say the DSM does say, like, treat with benzodiazepines or whatever. What he would have said is, I'm surprised she knows the proper pharmacological treatment that is listed in the DS or listed for PTSD. Because really, you don't name the whole book, you'd name the diagnosis. It's very weird. Anyway, I was like, well, that's what happens when you don't have a mental health professional consulting on the show. You end up with, but even someone who doesn't have their degree could have told you that doesn't make sense. I'm like, they just threw some letters in there to make them sound fancy. So grinds my gears.
Yeah.
Grinded.
All that.
Anyway, I'll still watch it, but I think less of them.
Wow.
Okay. You know, consult.
Yeah, you should have a consultant.
Check your scripts.
If you're doing medical stuff, you should.
Yeah. If you're going to talk about it, at least do it properly for the love of God.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. You know, I mean, I make sure before I say something that's not just what I was taught, that it's actually supported. So.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay. So pull us out of the pit of despair then.
What? I don't know. I'm pretty far into it now.
Can't turn back.
What do you mean NCIS Los Angeles isn't factually correct? Dang. Mm-hmm. I was getting all my information from it. Like, that's where I found out stuff about Oatly. Was from NCIS Los Angeles.
Do you know?
No, I saw something and I thought it was great. And because she's such a megastar, it's like, I don't even know any Taylor Swift songs.
I'm gonna start there. I know what you're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I know zero, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe shake it off.
I would say you probably know more than you realize because she's been around forever, topping the charts for the last like 20 years.
She's written a couple of mm-hmm. hits.
Yeah, probably 15 years, yeah.
Okay. By, you know, you hear everyone talking about her as a star, and people want to talk about her being a good person or a bad person, or, you know, people like to take a chip off of a celebrity, someone who's doing really well. Okay, fine. But I heard, and so her concert wraps up this week, her tour in North America, and then she's off to Europe or...
Yeah, she has her rap party this weekend.
Okay. So she's done with the North American leg of it.
Yeah, Homegirl's wildly been hustling. Successful. Yeah, it's... They've said that her tour alone has added to the U.S. economy like $2 billion or something. Crazy amounts. Because of the amount of, think of it, the people flying in, the hotels, the food, the staff of each venue, the setup, the, you know.
It's like Super Bowl every weekend, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's doing 6 shows in Toronto.
Yeah, she did.
Or she did 6 shows.
Well, if she's wrapping up in LA, she's already done. Well, no, Toronto would be, unless she's...
Maybe the Canadian leg is coming up next, maybe. And then Europe. But I think she's done with the American side. Anyways, doesn't matter.
I don't follow along that closely.
When you see, not everyone knows this, but I would assume everyone kind of has an understanding of it. The logistics behind the scenes to transport tours is insane. The amount of stage, you know, the bigger the artist, typically the bigger the stage, they're playing stadiums.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of setup because you have to remember that when you walk into a venue, unless it's like a theater performance, the theater itself already has the seats and the stuff all set up, but yeah, you have right. to bring in your sets. This is like, there's nothing. Like a lot of the stadiums that she plays at are like football. They play football right. games there, so or basketball
bring,
games.
Bring yeah. your own stage, you know?
And everything has to be set up.
Built up. And so in order to move this from city to city, it's an army of trucks. Mm-hmm. Like,
there's usually like 10 to 20 trucks. I remember Brad and Paisley. And she
has way more than that. So yeah. The story came out that she really appreciates the people who are working on this tour because logistically it's been a real grind.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's going back, like she's back to back every weekend, like multiple shows at a venue and then pick it up, move it to, you know, we were in Phoenix, now we're in LA. Not that that's her thing, but like, you know, they drive for 6 hours and they do it again.
Yeah. She gave... $55 million mm-hmm. to the crew who is transporting the stage. Or
$100,000 bonus.
Per driver, they each got $100,000 cash, which is absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think that more artists, I mean, granted, she's making a bajillion dollars.
But everybody's making tons of money. Not to say you have to do $100,000, but let's say you're on a small tour and you're like, oh, we're going to make $2 million. I can give them $2,000 a piece or yeah. something. You know what I mean? Like people are still working for you.
Yeah. And they're already getting great salaries, I'm sure. But the fact that she doled out $100,000 to each driver, I bet you know who was pissed off? Are the people who didn't get the $100,000 bonus who were working equally as hard.
There's always going to be. But it's just...
And I'm not faulting her, by the way. I think it's wonderful that she did this.
Like somebody had said that, and I don't know because I haven't checked all the facts on this, that it was for each truck because they have teams that unload. It's not just a driver.
No, I think it's per driver. Yeah.
But either way, what I'd heard was that meant that each guy or woman or whoever was setting up her stuff, they'd already had extra bonuses because there's stuff in their contracts for... You know, they've met all their deadlines and right, blah, blah, right. That they were, each person walked away with like $75,000 extra than they thought. That's something awesome. Like that. Now, again, I didn't check my facts on everything. That was like, I read one article and was like, oh, very cool.
I wonder how much her tour is going to, because they always show you at the end of the mm-hmm. year who had the highest grossing tour.
Oh, it's her, 100%.
100%. I wonder, you know, if it's going to be a $2 billion.
Because Beyonce's on tour too, but no one's talking about it really.
She's not paying the bus drivers the same amount of money.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I love Beyonce, but I've kind of fallen off from her lately. And part of the reason I don't think I would try to see her on tour is the tickets are fucking crazy expensive, just like Swift's, which fair. But one of my close friends, Allie, you guys saw her. She was on my channel years and years ago. But she went with a girlfriend and was so disappointed. She was like, she's just like, and this is obviously like not
one show.
Yeah. But I'm just like, man, because she's, it was like a $220 ticket. Allie was super stoked. She'd like saved up for it. Her and her friend Daphne went to the show and she was like, she's just like phoning it in. She was like, I don't even know if she's really singing, you know? And like the way she was dancing was just, it just didn't. And I've heard from everybody, and our friend Jared's been to 6 of her shows.
Taylor Swift.
Swift shows.
Yeah.
That it's amazing. And he's seen 6 shows and she changes costumes. Like she has different costumes. Like the shows are not the same.
Oh, wow.
He's like, what? Losing his mind.
Well, I'm not a Swiftie, but I'm this much closer to being a Swiftie after I heard that she was.
I like her music. People. It's really good. It sounds weird because we don't drive to work. I don't really get into music as much as I would like to. I do enjoy music. And then when I'm on the road for a long period of time, it's with you. And we don't, like, you wouldn't want to listen to Taylor Swift for like an hour.
Well, that new album that she has coming out, I'll probably listen to that one. It's Why? It's a collab between her and Slipknot.
No, so it's not. It's
really good. Swiftknot. Yeah.
Swiftknot. Oh
my God. My favorite band is Swiftknot.
No. But yeah, so that's kind of the problem. We end up falling into like a specific kind of music because there's like only a couple things that we like overlap.
In our Venn diagram
of music.
Yeah. It's usually like reggae or some easy listening.
I like jazz. We both like bossa nova if we're in Palm Springs. You know?
Yeah. So. I know. Well, I won't be going to the Taylor Swift concert. I have no connections to get tickets. And
we didn't try to get tickets either.
No. I did look into getting tickets for Aerosmith because it's their final tour of their career. Yeah. I'm sure they'll play a show here or there, but they're not going to tour anymore, which makes sense. I mean, the boys have put in some miles.
And it can be hard on their bodies, and I don't want any of them like going out like Tom Petty.
The cheapest ticket is $675 for our local tour. I was like, ugh.
What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. $75, man?
What? Sean.
It's been a while.
Get with the program, dude. Yeah, it's 2023. Everything's fucking expensive. It costs you like $200 just to wake up in the morning. So ticket prices, if you also were not 22, I don't want to be like off to the side in the high where you like can't really experience it. Like I've seen a few concerts that way. Like Kings of Leon comes to mind. Me and my friend Kate, who's also been on the channel, one of the dietitians, we went to a Kings of Leon concert. Our tickets were like $45. We were like to the side. Saw the whole thing from the side.
I bought tickets to a show once. I don't remember the show, but it was behind a pillar. And I was like, who sold this
seat? You're like, fucking hey, man.
Seriously, I was behind a pillar. Now, granted, you could see the edges of the stage.
Yeah, but the center, you're
like, fuck. No one stands on the edge of the stage. No. You want to be the centerman, you know?
You only see them like as they move out a little bit, like dancing. You're like, there he is. Yeah. so stupid. But those are things you do when you're younger, I feel like, because money's tight and you're like, whatever. But if I want to go, like I want to see George Strait, I'm down to throw in like $500 for a ticket that, you know, or $625, like, cause I want to see him, but I'm not into Aerosmith like you are. So that would be like, I don't want to spend that. But if it's your band, if it's your person, if it's Swift and you're like, she's doing fucking Eras tour, like I'm going to hear all my faves. I have to go. People are spending like $1,200 on tickets.
Do you think they have control over the price point or is it Ticketmaster who has control over the price point?
I think...
Or whoever.
It's minimal. My guess from the little that I know about tours, because I did look into touring, based on the size of the arena, your tour is going to have to pay to rent it.
Yeah.
And then, and all of her plays are fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay everybody.
But you get more seats that you can
sell. Then I believe Ticketmaster sets like a baseline of like what it would take to pay it off. To make $0.
Uh-huh.
And I would assume her agents, I don't think she's really part of this. I would assume her agents are like, if you're going to show up and you're going to put on this and we're going to do this, it's going to cost us about X. It's going to take this much of your time. And I think you should get paid this amount at least. And so then I think Ticketmaster does it supply and demand. Mm. People are waiting in line on in the queue for all day waiting to get through.
At some point, And I know that artists don't make their money off of records anymore the way used to. Spotify pays them like peanuts. You know, literally you get a bag of peanuts. You're like, thank you for the, a gold record.
It's like YouTube sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is my blood, sweat, and tears. And they're like, here's a sack of marbles.
Right.
Yay.
But then if the artist does have some say in it, at what point, like behind the scenes, right? Like you take all the smiles off and, you know, you get down to business mode. It just seems to me that the prices are out of whack with
I think it's
cost
because,
of living.
Yes.
And so.
But I.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say yes to that. I agree with you. The cost of everything is out of whack with what we're getting paid. There's a bunch of people talking online about it because it's very infuriating and it makes all of us feel very broke. But this Taylor Swift concert and any concert in general, I believe because we grew up where you bought CDs and people bought records or 8-tracks or whatever generation you're part of, or you downloaded and you purchased through Apple Music, which I will do if I like a band. I like pay for it directly. I don't just stream it. But we people don't do that anymore. So like you said, people don't make their money from that. They make it from touring.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably like, I don't know, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, Jay-Z had said something about this. And he said, well, expect to pay to see me in person then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was like a threat, but he can be kind of zing. But I think it's more like this, you know, if you are a huge celebrity and you have to have security, you already have a home you purchased. I know people are like, but you don't need to have all that. But like if they don't, you know, there's certain expenses. You get used to a certain lifestyle. They're not about to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
Their popularity is only growing.
Hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it totally makes sense. And I know it's supply and demand. What will the what does the market what is it willing to support?
And people people
are paying.
Paid it. I mean, how many times have you seen on Instagram stories? I feel like I've been to the Eras Tour.
If we had kids, I would not pay that kind of money for them to go see a concert. I think that's crazy.
No, they
won't
even really remember. Get over it. I'm not into it. Also, I mean, yeah. We don't have kids for a lot of reasons. That's like such a tertiary. Like, I didn't want to go. So if my child was like, I really want to go, I'd be like, you better get to work. You know?
Yeah, I do know. Anyways, I just thought it was great about the giving the $55 million that she got from the fans.
Yes. And, you know. Very kind. Very thoughtful.
Hey, you know that wackadoodle in that did the murders?
New Jersey?
No, not the Long Island
killer. Oh, the Idaho?
The Idaho one. Moscow?
Moskowitz?
Why do they pronounce Moscow different in Idaho?
I think because they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh. Moscow.
So there was the murderer, or we don't know if he did the murder, but they believe they have the murderer in custody. He's the one who killed people or whatever.
That guy is a creepazoid if you've ever seen a murderer creepazoid. And he has no, first of all, his car was seen there. They have physical evidence. I don't know what it is. And his alibi is, I was driving around the area.
Yeah. That was the story.
You don't even live there.
Well, he wasn't. So he's come up with his alibi, Brian Koberger or whatever his name is.
Creeping liar, piece of shit.
Well, he said he just goes out driving late at night, and that's his alibi. I'm like, that's the worst alibi ever.
That's only the worst alibi. So I watch a lot of murder mysteries. That is a horrible alibi. Second only to, I was home alone.
Right. I mean, who's going to corroborate your stupid story?
Well, the thing about driving around, he'd be better off saying I was home alone. But there's probably proof he wasn't at home. So he has to say something. But if he's driving around, do you know how many cameras there are on roads these days? What are you on, like some back dirt road?
Mm.
Show us the dirt in your tires, you lying piece of shit. There's no way he was on the roads. Where do you see his little white Hyundai or whatever he drives? Like, you should see it zooming.
Yeah.
This is creeper.
Unless
driving.
You have a receipt from a gas station or something.
Or I picked up a Coca-Cola.
There's no way I could have been at the murder scene.
Clearly. I got a Coca-Cola. And then you're so thankful that Coca-Cola, because otherwise you'd be in prison.
But no, his excuse is I was driving around late at night, as I so often did when I was looking for people to murder.
And then what was the other stuff that had come out prior to this? That like he had gone home and like covered up his car and like burned his clothes. There's all sorts of weird where you're like, I think you're a murderer.
Yeah, he's a little off from what I've heard. But
people can be weird and not be killers.
You know who's weirder than this guy?
Who?
Way weirder. are the droves of women who are lining up to date him.
I've been asked to comment on that, like, a lot.
Mm.
And it's a weird phenomenon. And I forget, because I did some research before. I don't know if it was KTLA. Somebody had me on. I don't remember. But they essentially, women in this case, because it's a dude, although dudes could also be like, hey, whoever, it doesn't matter. People who are romantically interested in murderers or serial killers or people, prisoners, is usually because, first of all, they see them as a celebrity. Second of all, these people tend to have come from really tumultuous upbringings, not just saying just trauma, but like could be that plus a lot of things. And they think that that's like they can fix them. There's some people who feel like, oh, I can make them a better person. They'll get better for me. And which is such an, a lot of people do that in their own level of that. Like, oh, he's just a little, you know, he has this little issue, but I can fix him or blah, blah, blah. We'll get better together.
He's not a bad guy, aside from the murdering. You know, it's pretty fun to hang out with.
And he seems super kind.
He's got an Xbox. Likes Korean food. I like Korean food.
You know, we have so much in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, so, he's locked up, so there's no chance of him getting me, you know?
But then some of it's also just like people are lonely and they want to reach out and they have a lot of time and they can write back and forth. I don't know. But most of it's the like tumultuous upbringing, kind of like trauma bond stuff mixed with the fix it.
Yeah.
Yikes. Oh, random. When you said Xbox, I had a flash because...
You want to get one?
No.
Oh.
I mean, if you want one, I guess. But I don't want one. That's not good for me. I don't have the time. Anyway, phishing emails are hilarious sometimes. And I often get these phishing emails saying, your Amazon whatever account is going to be frozen if you don't update your payment information. And it's so poorly done, it's almost comical. First of all, they don't even have the right email that's associated with my Amazon account. Second of all, the way that they like clipped Amazon leaves like little black specks on the edge. And I'm like, dude, if you're expecting to like, come on, up your skills, bro. So there's that. I get that one all the time. Then I also get, thanks for purchasing your privacy protection through the Geek Squad. You know, you're going to be billed 200 and something on it. Again, poorly clipped out. They have no skills when it comes to, what is that program that you use?
Photoshop.
Photoshop. They have no Photoshop skills. And I laugh as I delete it. But this one today really made me giggle.
Okay.
It was from Best Buy.
Oh.
First of all, who goes to Best Buy? Nobody. That's why they're out of business. Second of all, what did they say that I purchased? Hold on to your underwear. A Blu-ray player.
A Blu-ray player.
I'm like, you might as well have said I bought a VHS. VCR. Yeah, VCR.
Nice.
It was like, your new Blu-ray player won't be shipped until we get payment. And I was like, keep it, buddy.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
Like, what a phishing scam.
I was like, ma'am. And for a second, I was like, oh, I'm going to Instagram story about this stupidity. And then I was like, nobody cares, Katie. Nobody cares. You don't even care.
Oh, phishing scams are pretty funny.
They're pretty funny.
Every once in a while, I'll almost fall for one. And then I'm like, oh, God, pull yourself together, man. Yeah. You know,
our friend Jared, he accidentally fell for one. Remember? It was like last year. And he's like, fuck, they got me.
Yeah, but
he had to change his credit card number. Nigerian
prince was pretty convincing.
What is the office quote that Pam says? She's like, every 5 minutes, someone is...
Falls for
don't know, something on the internet. She's like, and that man is Michael Scott. And he's like, but the Nigerian prince.
You know, it happens. Hey, okay, so that's a phishing, that's a false product. They're just trying to snake you. You know what we saw on TV? And this is an excellent product. And I recommend it to everyone now that I know about this product. The socket fan extender.
I was like, best product.
What the socket fan. With? It's an LED light and fan. It's $60. And it comes with free shipping. Oh, and there's a bonus socket extender.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even get a second one for 50% off. It's got a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, this is the socket fan. Katie, would you like to tell them about the socket fan?
They should call it the pocket fan. You guys, this thing is supposed to go on the roof of your home. Okay, so in a room. Ceiling. Yeah, on the ceiling. the ceiling of your home, the roof of your home, whatever. So in your living room, so if you're in your living room, look up. You see your ceiling? You're supposed to put a fan in it. And if you have a fan on yours, like we happen to, they're like this big, right? That's the fan because it has the thing in the middle and then the blade so it can actually move enough air.
So like a 30-inch diameter, let's say.
Yeah. Socket fan, which is arguably just half the price of a full-size fan.
Right. So a fan that you put on your ceiling fan.
It's like $120.
And it's difficult to install because there's wires and you have to put a hole in your ceiling. And, you know, it's a process. So.
I mean, so, okay. Sure, question mark. This socket fan, you guys, is probably like a foot and a half across diameter.
No. You think it's 12 inches?
I think it's about this big. When the guy holds it, it's not bigger than his body.
Okay. So 12 inches diameter.
We'll be generous. It's the smallest fan that you've ever seen in your life. And the commercial shows him screwing it into, only thing I can describe it as is, you know that metal, like in older homes, there's like a metal kind of, I guess, socket.
It's a light socket.
That comes out where you would put a bulb directly into it. I don't know how many people have those. I guess you might have one, but then you have no light in that room.
Yeah, so it's really strange. First of all, this thing is tiny.
So you unscrew a light bulb out of said socket and you screw this tiny ass fan into it that is like this big, and then it has a light on the bottom. So I guess it does have, because it does have a light. So maybe in our old apartment, no, we didn't have any ceiling lights there. They make it sound like it's so simple. And I'm like, you're looking for a specific person with a specific kind of hookup in their home who also only doesn't care that like you could legitimately fit like 10 on your ceiling.
So
in the same room,
it's so small that I'm sure the breeze that this thing is throwing off is pretty weak, and thus the socket extender. Yes. So it brings the fan closer to you by 8 inches.
I'm going to say like 4 inches.
It's so ugly.
And it's like a metal tube that they've painted white that you screw into the socket. I'd assume it has wiring. I guess. Who even knows what the fuck, you guys? This thing is so small and so ridiculous looking. I hope people aren't getting bamboozled by it, because if they think it's a real sized ceiling fan, they're going to be so upset when it shows up.
The box is so small.
You have to see the person holding it, because that's like, even when I buy things on eBay, like a purse or something, I want to see it next to a person, like them holding it, because that gives you, even if they tell you the measurements, nobody goes and gets their measuring tapes out.
In the commercial, the way they film it is the guy installs and he stands back and looks at his handiwork. You know,
and
like,
it's and tiny. First
of
all,
it's way up there on a tall ceiling, like a 10-foot ceiling.
Yeah.
And it's not in the center of the room. It's off to the corner because that's where
his socket was.
Yeah. I'm like, this is terrible. It was so bad that I ordered two of them.
The only thing that makes that like this would make sense for would be if you had a camper.
Yeah.
Like my mom has like a fifth wheel or whatever. Or no, it's not even fifth wheel, it's a regular camper. But that would work in that because of the size.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the ceilings are already kind of low. So you don't want like huge blades flying around. But you guys, this was so ridiculous and so funny. And it periodically shows up like in our local news. And it's just on TV randomly. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope nobody's buying.
I bet you they made millions of these units. And they're in a factory in China somewhere, and they're coming to our shores now.
I hope nobody bought the socket fan. If you did, please send a picture of yourself holding it up.
With an honest review. Don't take our word for it.
Maybe it's well built. Maybe the one that they showed us wasn't the real size. I don't know why they do that, but you guys, it was so small. Like, I don't know about you, but a fan on my ceiling like this, I know also, by the way, it's hot out. People get desperate. We didn't have air conditioning in L.A., if this was, we'd have lost our minds. We would have packed up and fucking left.
So this thing is $60 for a fan that is roughly the size of a personal pizza. Mm-hmm.
You might as well just buy a regular fan.
Why don't you get a real fan?
Regular fan.
Yeah. And just put it on the floor. Mm-hmm. Get a full-size fan.
Yep. Get like the fan we had before, the Aloha Breeze.
Which is basically a tornado.
It is a tornado.
That thing is awesome.
We would, there were two instances we would use the Aloha Breeze. It's an industrial fan, you guys, for like, didn't Lamar give it to you because he had it when he worked with HVAC stuff?
Yeah.
So this thing, blow me away. Roxy, lose her hair. It's so strong. And if we cooked in the kitchen and something got smoky and we didn't want to set off the smoke detector, we would hook it up because we had front and back doors to our apartment, and we would open both the doors because we didn't have any mosquitoes, and we would just turn that fan on and fucking blow it out. It's a beautiful thing. Or when we were really, really, really hot and we didn't have air conditioning, we would just stand in front of it and be like...
Yeah. I used it as a food processor a couple of times too, to cut carrots.
So versatile.
Throw the carrot at it. Put the pot on the other side of the fan. Throw the carrot, Katie.
We made music. And then that motor gave out, and you kind of got it, Jimmy rigged it to get it to work again, and then we had to get rid of her.
Yeah. But Aloha Breeze, mm-hmm. half the price, better than a small ass fan.
Better than the socket fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that Aloha Breeze.
Yep, 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 yep. All right. Well, that takes care of the things that I saw this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, we had the murderer who's a liar.
Muckduck.
Yeah.
Two murderers, though. Him and then the one in New Jersey. I haven't followed the one in New Jersey. I've seen it on the news off and on.
That one seems pretty legit. Like, that's a big-time serial killer. I don't even know his name, but...
I forget, too. We'll just call him Bad Dude. So, Bad Dude...
The Long Island Loser.
Long Island. The Long Island Loser. He buried people in his own backyard? Is that right? Or some property? Because they're like...
I think that's his house, yeah.
Because they took their ground-penetrating radar kind of thingies and found, what, 8 bodies or something?
Yeah, and I think they think there's more.
Yes.
I think there's, like, souvenirs of other people.
Mm-hmm. What do they think? It's, like, 16? I forget. But either way, that's some creepy shit that's going on.
And he's a big dude.
Yes.
Scary. Oh. Mm-hmm. Not Vigilante News.
Gilgo Beach. Serial killer Rex Huerman.
He's an intimidating fella. He's like 6'5". He's a lumbering,
Serial killers. The Gilgo Beach serial killings were a series of killings between 1996 and 2011 in which the remains of up to 24 people have been found in, and I might be saying Gilgo Beach wrong. Correct me. It's fine. Located in the south shore of Long Island, New York. Most of the known victims were sex workers who advertised on Craigslist. The perpetrator in this case is known as a Long Island serial killer, or LISK, L-A-S-K. They believe there's more than 24. It says that victims' remains were found over a period of months in 2010 to 2011, so they've been looking for him for a while. After the disappearance of Shannon Gilbert resulted in a police search of the area along Ocean Parkway, so I think that was not related, near the remote beach towns of Gilgo and Oak Beach. The remains of 4 victims, designated the Gilgo 4, were found within a quarter mile of each other near Gilgo Beach, December of 2010, and 6 more sets of remains. So 6 more sets, so 12? Or just a set of remains? Like, a set of remains?
Yeah, if you've been dismembered?
Dismembered,
and then so the set would be what takes me whole.
Yeah. Okay.
So six
more people were found in March and April of 2011 in Suffolk County. And Nassau counties.
Police, I think they say Suffolk.
I think it's Suffolk, isn't it? And Nassau counties.
Yeah.
Police believe the latter sets of remains predate the 4 bodies. So that anyway. So they, yeah, and they're still looking because it's current, like just today,
I
3
think
hours
still
ago.
At his house, like. Mm-hmm. And they've been there for, what, 2 weeks now? Where they're
his
going
poor family.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, if that was your dad. Fuck.
His wife? Like, she didn't know. And then, you know, one day the FBI comes and raids your house. And,
he has 2
God.
Adult children, 26 and 33.
All the lives this person's ruined.
And they're having a tough time. It said they haven't refused to rule out. Or they have refused to rule out ever speaking to him again. So they don't even know. They're like, could I still talk to my dad? I hope so. Ah, talk about fucking crazy. So yeah. So he's accused so far of killing at least 3. Hmm. So they're probably just trying to tie him to them, right? They have to have some kind of evidence or something like that.
If you're a serial killer.
Yes.
I mean, I would assume you just want to cop to all of it. Like, let everyone know what your dirty work has been, right?
I mean,
if you get caught for one and you're going to jail for it.
If you're already, well, there's a couple of things. When it comes to, you know, psychopaths, sociopaths, whatever you want to call them, people with antisocial personality disorder who are serial killers, which is a very small sliver of them, they are at their root very narcissistic. So they really, that's usually why they kill people too, is kind of part of the control thing. They like to feel powerful. There's a bunch of weird shit that goes on mentally with them. So people like him, but he thinks he's smarter than everybody else because they don't want to get caught. And so unless he's actually found guilty of like multiples and he's like life in prison, sometimes at that point, then in order to get some like extra things, like, oh, I want to have more money in my commissary, or I want to be able to visit with my wife, or I don't know, whatever, then they will give up the others. Hmm. And police will sometimes make those kinds of deals because they want to give closure to the families. But then there's also the suspicion that they will just cop to a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So they usually make them tell them where the bodies are and they find them and stuff like that.
I'm glad I don't interact with that sort of stuff.
You wouldn't know.
As a police officer.
Thank God. Thank you for our police officers for doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Creepy. Although I do love murder mysteries. Not in real life. But we watched that one documentary of that. Was it Florida? Or Georgia. Remember, it was like they found a bunch of bodies along that road.
It's Texas here.
Oh, Texas.
It was out by Houston.
Yeah. We watched that too. I was like, oh.
Mm.
Anyway, be safe out there. Trust your gut. Don't do anything. Don't meet with people off Craigslist. It's not safe. Safety first. Tell people where you're at.
There you go.
There's the advice. Don't be hyper-vigilant, but just be smart.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the letters. Oof, that was...
Is that too much for you?
Yeah, I don't like the serial killer stuff. I don't mind watching it on TV. But, but the fact that those people are out there, you're like, no.
I know. I don't understand the development of it. Like, I could really, for a long time, you guys, when I was in school, I wanted to become a criminal psychologist. I thought that would be really cool. And then we met up with one. We had one come to school, or we went out to the prison or something. And I think they came to school. And they were talking about like the safety and security protocols, and like even using their real name and people being able to find out where they lived. And I was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
No thanks.
The last thing you want to do is draw the attention of a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stand out.
Exactly. Okay. We have a audio track from Tom. It's called Tom's Rapid Fire Responses.
Oh.
Are you ready? Get your earbuds ready. You got to. Oh, he's already starting. I'm sorry, Tom. Pause. Ah. Okay, here we go. I'll turn it up. And
I'm going to do a little rapid fire here. Responses to the podcast today. Sean, pink ain't for boys. You better stick to the classics at those weddings this summer. You're never going to hear the end of it if I see your picture in something pink on.
I love wearing a pink suit.
He already did it, Tom, and I'm sorry.
Oh.
Probably because we're late on our letters. But
yeah. It feels good.
You know, he's going to wear it again.
Yeah.
We have another wedding coming up in Palm Springs.
Trust me. I think you should get one too, Tom. And you'll feel good about it.
It was the light pink and the light blue. It looked very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, also the funny thing about the wedding we're going to in Palm Springs is that we're not supposed to, as part of like the rules of the wedding, when people ask you, when you say like what the dress code is no black, no white, no brown.
Mm.
They want all colors. They want it to be like a rainbow. So you'll fit in perfectly.
Facebook or whatever. Okay, second up, I got wide feet too. So you're in good company, buddy. It is a sign of good character. I'm a 12'4", you're a 13, so got a tough time finding shoes.
Yeah.
Okay, on the fireworks, I got a funny fireworks story. I was up at a party at a buddy's place, another side of the state. His dad's friend got a little tipsy, and they handed him a Roman candle, and he's like, oh, which way is it going to shoot from? Well, this poor guy was sitting on his porch having a stogie, and he pointed that son of a bitch at him, and boom!
Shot himself?
He lit himself up.
It's got to hurt at close range.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say he went like this and like shot into the house.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh no, fire.
If you don't know which way it's going to shoot, you don't point either end at yourself.
No, you hold it like this.
Yeah.
And just see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, a little tipsy. You're not really thinking your best. You're not your
what
best
self. What
am
I science going to shoot out of?
That's like opening a champagne bottle. And you're like, I wonder if this is...
Right,
and
right.
I always love that sign on champagne bottles that shows somebody with it straight to their face. And it's like, no.
Yeah. Or you have a little bit of bad ceviche and you're like, I wonder what side this is going to shoot out of.
Could be both. Hold a bucket and sit on the toilet. You're welcome.
Poor guy. Bet you he had to change his underwear.
Right okay, on time.
On the pickles. My favorite is the hot, sweet pickles that Mrs. Carter makes at the little store here in town. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned that before, but if y'all ever come up here, I'll have to get some. I think they're best on a burger or throwing them on a slice of meatloaf with a little cheese and letting it melt.
Yummy. I do. It's funny. I do love a sweet pickle, but it has to be in a certain kind of way. And I love that it's spicy too, because I grew up, my family's a pickle family. I think you kind of slowly have learned that. Sean will be like, I put lemon juice with tuna. And I was like, pickle juice, what's wrong with you? And then in egg salad, in potato salad.
A house divided cannot stand, Katie.
I think you scared our dog. But yes, we put pickles in a lot of things. Roxy does not agree.
She's not a pickle juice person.
She is not. Okay.
So, about to have some of that in a little bit. Old Tom loves you. He's always happy to see you. Oh, one last thing, the summer stuff. I'm looking forward to some minor league baseball games, parties at friends' houses, and also a power meet later this summer. So
nice.
That's all from me. Let me go ahead and sign off here. Tom loves you, and he's always, always happy to see you.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, that's...
We should send Tom a pink OTDM shirt.
He would die. He will refuse. He says, no, thank you.
I send it back. Return to sender.
No such address. Okay. We have a letter from a new person.
Okay.
Georgia.
Georgia.
I hope I'm saying it right. It is entitled, Picture I Drew. Cannot wait to see it, but we also have part of the letter. It says, hey, Katie and Sean, I've been a big fan of both of you for about, blah, blah, blah. I have been a big fan of both of you forever. I've watched Katie since I was about 14 years old and have learned so, so much. That's amazing. Yay. I'm a primary school teacher and I get super bored in the school breaks because of all the free time I have. LOL. I'm quite creative. I love all things art and writing. I drew this for you guys, so I'm super happy for you to use it to promote your podcast if you'd like. Just make sure to credit me. Otherwise, please enjoy some fan art. I look forward to hopefully seeing a reply. Kind regards, Georgia.
Very cool. It's been a while since we've seen some fan art.
Yeah. It says, oh, because I was like, wait, I can't find it. It says, oh, it might be useful if I actually attach what I was referencing. I do that all the time. It says, here you go. A few different versions. Oh, very cool. I like waiting for it to load.
Hey, that's really good.
That's really good. I like it. Okay, there's that one. And then there's that one.
Fantastic.
And then there's that one. I love
it. Are you
it.
Teaching art?
Is this... So good. I don't know.
It was great.
She did not say.
I'm celebrating my arm.
I know.
My arms are in the air.
It must be one of our, I'd assume, a thumbnail. I think it's really cute.
Thank you, Georgia.
She lives in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne. I could never say it quite right, but
is Melba toast from Melbourne? Or just the buns? Are they toasted buns?
Always toasted. I don't know.
Melbourne. Melba toast.
Mel. We'll have to let our Melbunians tell us. Back. We're going to have to go back and find out. Mm-hmm. I've really been craving some international travel. So once ticket prices come down, Sean and I.
Take to the open skies.
We're coming for you. Okay. Let's see. We have, this will be our last letter. We have a letter from our, I always forget and I'm so sorry, but it's from Ben. And Ben is our ambassador for a radio.
He's our...
he's Elon Musk. What is he?
He's our science officer.
Mm-hmm. Science and technology.
Science, technology, space, satellites, ham radio.
Ham radio. All fun things. Okay. And it is called, it's entitled, rather, The Whistle Hack.
Oh.
It says, hey, Katie and Sean. On episode 160, Sean mentioned a whistle that was played while on a phone. While I have never done anything like that, I do know a bit about it. The term for phones is actually phreaking, P-H-R-E-A-K-I-N-G, pronounced like freak, but spelled with a P-H. Phone companies back in the day, in the 1950s to 1960s, used certain sounds to signal different things. One of those was the 2600 hertz tone, which would signify that a circuit was available for use.
Okay.
Essentially, if one played that sound when on a long distance phone call, constantly the call would remain in use, but the billing would end, allowing one to make a nearly free long distance phone call. Of some note related to this is a whistle with that exact frequency was distributed by Captain Crunch in the 1960s, which caused no end of problems. Another fun fact is that Steve Wozniak of Apple started messing with electronics in part because of this phone freaking. It's a strange piece of history that has led to great things. Thanks for all you do, Ben.
Fascinating.
So what does that mean? I don't remember the the freaking comment.
I had mentioned that I had heard that there are people who are using frequency, like a note.
Mm-hmm. Freaking.
On the phone. Mm-hmm. To hack systems. And what I had heard it was the way they were, I think guys were getting into the electric company or something like that. I don't know.
I remember you talking about that now that you say that, because I was like, wait, what was this?
Early hackers, mm-hmm. But from I was way off, I guess, from what Ben is saying. But
still, there's part play a truth tone to it.
And then it would knock off the long distance charger would think that
it was the call was over, but it would allow the call to continue. Yeah. Crafty. So interesting.
Sneaky, I wonder if Captain Crunch, if they knew that this was...
I don't know. And I don't know why Captain Crunch would have done anything like that.
They hate long-distance calls just like everyone else.
Boom. People...
We don't pay for that anymore. It's amazing.
No, kids nowadays, not to sound like an old person, but technology always makes you feel that way. They will never know the pain of using a calling card.
Well, it used to be like even just out of your region was long-distance.
Oh, yeah. Because even I remember... So 206, I think, is the area code in Seattle back home, and we were also 206, we're south of Seattle, but then when I forget what age, then our area code changed, and so then a huge swath of Washington State became long distance phone calls. And so, and then Nick went to school, I went to school, blah blah blah, and back then cell phones were just coming around and you couldn't do long distance calls on them. I don't even know. It was like car phones. But anyway, we had these calling cards and you would buy a calling card for like $20 and you could reload it with money. Mm. But I almost had like my calling card number like memorized, because you'd have to call the 1-800, 255-75, whatever the fuck. And then it'd be like, put in your number, and you'd be like, 650. And then you put in the, the hash, boom,
symbol.
Pound. I was like, it's not hashtag, pound.
Why did it change? Who did that?
I don't know. Hash mark? I don't know why they call it a hashtag.
Yeah. I just don't understand why it went from pound symbol to hashtag. Maybe there were competing terms. And
I'm sure there's some history to it or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe it's the Brits versus the Yanks.
But anyway, then you hit the pound and then it'd be like, enter the number you want to call. And then you'd have to enter their phone. It was like such a fucking process.
It's easy, Kay.
I know. 01183098. 8675200. It's like, have you guys seen the IT Crowd? Moss, my favorite character. There's like, instead of people, it's such a funny premise. Instead of people calling
911,
but it's not 911, it's something else. It's like 988 or something, whatever their number is in the UK. I forget. They're like, instead of calling this, call our new number. And it's like
a string of like so 80 numbers, but they do it to a jingle. And Moss can remember it because he's.
Yeah, but then he like lights the place on fire and he's like, okay, he's like, 0115309. And he like, and then it goes 6. It like ends like on an off note. And he's like, and it wasn't right. And so he sends him an email. The whole premise is hilarious. I love that show.
We should revisit it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Although we need to finish watching What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes. We'll get back to that one soon.
Okay. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy. Hopefully you can get outside if it's not too hot. If it is hot, drink water. Be careful. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.